Our next scheduled presentation is Radio Propaganda, What You Can Learn from Images and Text. Propagation, sorry. Did I tell you I'm human? Our presenter, see if I can get this right, our presenter is Doug Vernier, president of VSoft Communications.
Well, thank you very much, Greg, for that. And we really don't have any propaganda here. I'm sorry to disappoint everyone, but there's enough of that coming to us from outside. But we will talk about what you do with predictions, and it's not as simple as this, but here we have a map, which is pretty standard. This is probably what you're used to. This is a standard FCC map of the 60 dBU of an FM station. It happens to be out in San Francisco. And basically, this is what you see there is a line where the FCC says this is where your 60 dBU is based on their methodology. And that is not your signal in terms of coverage. And your signal in terms of coverage is protected from other stations with that 60 dBU. So here's the problem with the FCC method. They take a radial of terrain every 2 to 10 miles, and they take 8 of these as a minimum, and they average them together for the HAT. But what you see here is just one radial that they have taken. And you see the black line? Well, that's from 2 to 10 miles, 3.16 to, 16 kilometers. And after that, it doesn't see that big hill. So that's the problem with the FCC's method in terms of finding out how good your signal is and where it's received. And they use the FCC 50-50 curves. This is what everybody used for the longest time before we were able to computerize them. And on the left is a slider. You slide up and down, and then you follow the graph over, and you tell it what the power is, and then from the graph, or the slider, rather, and that'll tell you what the distance to your contours are in the graph. And then there's the 50-10. So what we're talking about is 50% of the time, 10% of the location is where the signal arrives using this graph. So it obviously, since it's only 10% of the time, will go further. So that's the interference contour for which you are protected as an FM station by your 60 dBU. But when we look at this, what this is a line of sight map. And basically, you know that FM band, this frequency that we use, is basically line of sight. So terrain has a very large impact on what you're seeing. Now, if you look there to the, I guess it would be to the east, slightly southeast, you'll see that there's Mesa, Arizona. The rest of it is all Phoenix serviced by this translator. And they seem to be in a shadow. So it's all you're looking at is a reproduction of the shadow versus the non-shadow. And here we're looking at a shadow depth map. In other words, the various colors there represent certain levels of depth of the shadow. So the higher depth will be a color. I can't see it from here, but I think it's green. And then the yellow is zero shadow. So you can see that it's pointing to the same problem. And when you look over there toward Mesa, you don't see any surface of any sort. You see an area of deep, dark shadow. If we look at that up real close, we can see where the gradations of the shadow depth are. And there you can see going down. I'm going to have to put my glasses on because I can't read that down there, and I want to be able to read it. Bingo! Sorry about that. Okay. Well, anyway, that's Mesa and somebody. I can't even read it with my glasses. Can you guys read it from there? What's the other one? Okay. All right. Well, you see, this is shadow depth. So basically, we're kind of seeing what that translator is doing. And you, if you get a call from those people out there, you thought you were serving them, you're not. Here is a Longley Rice map. And we'll talk about Longley Rice a little bit more in depth for the next slide. But you can see that there's this, that hole is still there. So obviously it depends on terrain and it depends on shadowing to determine what is the signal in those locations. And the green represents the, I think that's the 40 to 50 dBU, and then it goes on up with the colors. So the main power is 100 dBU, and that's the red right in the center. And then we have 70, I think, or is it 80 to 100 in the yellow. I have a little monitor up here, that's why I can't tell for sure. Here is a profile. The terrain is on this profile shown in red, and those are those peaks. And the signal is shown down below in the blue. And there's a Fresnel in there for the orange color. And then you can see the line of sight. So by the time you get toward the end there, because of those shadows, the peaks, you don't have a whole lot of signal. And as soon as it hits one of those peaks, you can see the blue dropping down. So that's exactly what's happening with terrain along that azimuth toward Mesa. So what is the Longley Rice model anyway? Well, Phil Rice and Anita Longley in 1968 did quite a bit of measurements of their own. Not the FCC's standard measurements. These are their measurements. And they used electromagnetic theory along with the terrain and put it all together using some statistics to determine variability of the signal based on time and space. The variability factor is a quality factor. So there's three factors of variability. You have in Longley Rice, you have the location, and you have the location, time, and in, you have the space variability. And so they've added a statistical factor to Longley Rice. It is a common used algorithm in the industry. The FCC allows it for supplementary submissions, and we use it often to show that the FCC 70 dBU may not touch the city of license for these for commercial stations in the commercial band, which is a requirement. But if you show Longley Rice, generally you can get by and have that station license to that particular city and move your transmitter where it needs to be. So here are the inputs to Longley Rice. And those along the bottom are the ones that I point out. Of course, there's transmitter power, transmitter height, and all of that. But as you go down below, you see that the additional factors that have been added, including climate and time variability. We talked about that. And the situation variability and ground conductivity. And none of this, of course, is in the standard methodology of the FCC. But if you look at what Longley Rice is doing in any propagation algorithm, is determining the signal at a point. It doesn't really do any more than that. And that's not terribly helpful in terms of area of service. So that's where visualization comes in. Now here is a Longley Rice using the standard Longley Rice methodology. And there's a set of mountains, this happens to be Denver, on the west side. And you can see from this particular graphic that there's some real issues going to the west. And again, we have each one of those areas that are in color are a different signal strength. Here's another Longley Rice. This one I thought was kind of interesting because if you follow the actual FCC contour, that's the red contour, the round circle there that you see to the northeast, and notice that there's right underneath that kind of a winding point where there's some white, which is means no service, and there's also some purple, which means very low signal, 40 dBu. Yet that's in the 60 dBu of the FCC coverage area. What you're looking at there happens to be the Mississippi. And so the Mississippi actually forms a pattern on the Longley Rice that would identify what's happening to the signal there. So if you get a call from somebody over in that area, you say, I'm sorry, you're down in the Mississippi Valley, and there's not much we can do for you. If you've been there, you know that it drops off something like 300 feet, you know, to get down into that area where the river is. Here's another Longley Rice. This is for a television station. And what you're looking at is a TriStar antenna made by Andrew. And you can see the three sides of the antenna in this pattern. And this is not a pattern, I should say. This is Longley Rice with the FCC coverage in white in this particular case. You get a pretty good idea of it. Now, this is where we actually blend the colors, which is much more appealing. But if you can see the color change between, I don't know how well it shows up there, between the green and the red, you can see that there's a blend. And what this indicates is more a pretty map than it does any specific change at that spot, although you know there's a blend there when you see it. And of course, if you look at the islands, you do see coverage. It's unique, you know, when you get to the ocean, it's all flat, so there's no terrain inhibiting, and you can see that the signal really picks up on the edges of these islands out there. Here's a street level view of Longley Rice, and you can see there that the signal drops from, I believe it's 80 dBu. You can see the chart on there, the legend, which indicates what the green is. And then as you see the other colors, that's not as strong, and right up probably likely some, which don't show on the map here in this map, the rivers are the low points of from the glacier going through, but those signals are down. A couple of peaks there where they don't go way down. Oops, we'll hop in. There we go. Here's a Longley Rice of two stations, commonly owned stations, by the way. And you can blend those two together and get a superstation effect from the Longley Rice rendition. Just as an aside, these stations are programmed separately, but it looks like something you might be able to synchronize and have a real superstation with a synchronization. Here's the use of Longley Rice to determine interference. And this is where your interference lies. In this particular case, it's from the stations up in the left top corner. And you can see the purple there coming in is actually, this is a Class B station, so the 54 dBU is the protected contour. Well, that kind of throws it out the window because that interference using the standard FCC U to D ratio is coming in from the southeast and reducing the coverage in the 54 dBU. You can see that the other interferences kind of are about the same as the FCC's idea in terms of staying outside the red circle, the protected contour. And here you have a reverse of what we were just looking at. This is where the signal is. You can see in the southeast corner, there's a cut in the green, which is the 60 dBU, I think. I can't see it exactly. You can see the 54 dBU, I'm sorry. And then you can see the contour there, the 54 dBU of the FCC. So this is interference-free coverage is what you're looking at. Here's a table which represents a study that we just looked at, and that was within the 45 dBU. And that's the second circle that was on that. And if you look at that, you see all the subtractions and coverage and population being made because there's interference out there. And within, what is that, 26.27, I think, percentage. You guys can probably read that better than I with that little screen up there. So you can tell that you're not covering 45 to the 45 dBU when you see that only a quarter of your audience is interference-free. And beneath that is a racial breakdown, which is not an issue right now. This is another interference map in Michigan somewhere, or is it in Ohio? But anyway, Michigan, okay. It's Lansing, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So you can see the interference coming in here from these other stations, and actually it's a Class B, so at 54 is the protected contour. And you can see that they're losing some of that. So if you were to drive out one of those superhighways here, and you would find interference where it was being captured through the capture ratio of the receiver. And so basically, this is the receive antenna we talk about. We didn't set the receive antenna up. It's a vertical antenna. So, or not necessarily vertical, but it's omnidirectional. So, you know, if they had a Yagi in there, it would put the signal to the back of it all, down quite a bit, and you would be able to receive the station likely out there. So let's look at the reverse of this, where the coverage is. So this is a Longley Rice interference-free analysis using you can see the signal strength legend on the left lower. And you can see where that signal reaches. Now, going down, what is it, 59, I think it is, to the south, you can see they've got a signal that goes all the way down. So the sales guys have probably driven down that and said, oh, we got this tremendous signal that goes all the way down to Ohio. And when, in fact, that's the only direction they do. All right, now this is going to ATSC, which of course is the big kahuna on the block as far as television goes these days. And These are the various inputs that you would put together to indicate, well, to do your coverage analysis using Longley Rice. And a lot of these inputs are the same as you might be making for a microwave analysis, including things that are also common to microwave analysis. And this happens to be the input of those with the drop-down boxes that our program uses. So you can see that they have been placed in there. So the calculation of the interference-free contour is shown over to the northeast corner, I guess. I can't read it exactly. But the ultimate contour is, I believe, the 51 dBU. And the 51 dBU is, now this is a case where you're talking about interference free, and it's DTV, is, and you have a drop-off, so you don't really need the gradations of the signal. You just need to know where it's going to physically be receivable with the common receiving equipment. And so the red in this particular case is the FCC, not interference-free, but signal based on the DTV service. And the green is where it really goes. So you can see some difference there, particularly down south. I have a profile to the northeast up there toward the lake, and you can see what that looks like. So basically, that's such a long profile that we have the Earth, the standard Earth curvature impacting significantly what kind of a signal you have. And if you look down there, the blue line just drops out and drops way down in that direction, which you would see on the map. Well, there's a few other propagation models. Actually, there's quite a few, but there's a few that we're going to look at here. PTP was created by Harry Wong at the FCC, and it was approved by the various people in the FCC and then put in the Federal Register, and then they realized that it didn't work. And so Harry came out with PTP2, which the FCC has not allowed as a replacement for Longley Rice. But it does a good job. The problem that Harry had was that if you look at a radio and you say you want the 54, well, what happens with these surface contours is they go to 54 and then they drop down and then they come back up to 54 again. And then they do that constantly with terrain. So you might be on a hill out there way beyond the coverage and you have a 54 dBU. So what his program does, he's got an algorithm that goes through that radial and looks at where the drops are and averages them out to a point where he can say, that's your contour. And that doesn't always tie in with what the FCC is doing with the standard methodology, and there was too much differences. And so they've never allowed any submissions using their alternate submissions using PTP2, even though I think it's still in the rules. Then there's the ITU-R propagation model. The International Telecommunications Union. And this is a good model. It's not used much in the United States. It's used mostly overseas. And then there's the COST 223 HADA. And this is an old algorithm, which used to actually, the old, it was basically started with Okamura. And then HADA came in and said, we have a better way of doing it. we'll do it along with cost, and he's come up with that formula there for determining what that signal is at a point, and it uses terrain. And then the Okamura had it was the previous algorithm used for 150 to way up to 1920 megahertz. And that algorithm does use terrain, and there was a time when it didn't. It was primarily used initially in Japan for the low slung buildings that are all jammed together in Tokyo and various places like that, but it didn't consider buildings, and it didn't consider the kind of thing that we have here in the U.S., and it didn't consider terrain. So that's what Cost and Hatta added to that methodology. So what this is PTP 2, and actually this particular Longley Rice approach, where we've colorized the various contours, looks similar to a Longley Rice. But as we go on and take a look at the ITU, we don't see the variations in the outside periphery of this method here. And if we go back to the older Cost Hatta, we see these huge deviations where there's some hills and the signal just shoots right through those hills, and that's not a real thing. So there are some problems with that algorithm. And this is the Okamura Hatta. It's just almost the same, but not quite. There's some differences. And we go back to the Longley Rice method, and this is the Longley Rice method of so it's very close to PTP, but you can see where the signal drops out a little bit more in the periphery. And here's a visualization of the mountains to the west in the Denver area, and an FCC contour in white. Gives you a good feeling for what's happening. Here's a standard U.S. topographical map and a close-up of the map with the green coverage. It's another thing you can do to visualize coverage right over the local highways. Here's a ham radio repeater, a VHF repeater, on Long Island. Is that on Long Island? Yeah. So it does a pretty good job, and you can see that there's a lot of coverage of a good signal over there on the shores. Here's a visualization of an AM station, typically not done, and it's using the blended methodology, so you blend between the various signal levels. But you can certainly see what's going on. We've cut it here at the end, and I think it was the .05 where we stopped it. Oops. Here's an interesting 3D rendition of an STL path. So, you know, if you're careful, you can plan your whole path with something like this. And you can go to China. We don't do that anymore, I guess, in terms of buying their products. But this is a Longley Rice over China. And here's one over Italy. You can see the impact of the mountains here quite well. So that's basically what I wanted to show you, what you can do with visualization to recognize where your signal is going and why, and know when someone calls that, well, not much I can do about that. One thing I haven't talked about is if you use Longley Rice, if at all possible, you should use the as-built pattern that you get from the manufacturer. Now, they do that for all directional antennas. They're not currently doing that unless you have an optimization for a side-mounted FM antenna. But you want to get as close as you can to the real world. So I would highly recommend doing that instead of using the theoretical pattern that goes into the FCC application, which a lot of, I think we use mostly the that pattern for these along the rice. But the problem with that pattern, what's it for, is it's not a problem, I guess. You're protected using that pattern, even though it can't be achieved in reality. There is some variance that the FCC does allow. So do you have any questions?
Greetings. Just a comment to Doug and Vsoft. This is just a comment. I really think that it's a great product. We've been working with Doug and his group for years, and we find it very, very useful to plan and to see when we get viewer complaints or reception complaints or what we can do. It's always amazed me that something that can be so complicated, once you get the system installed and worked out and learn how to drive it, you can really get a lot of neat knowledge about terrain in your local area that you never really considered beforehand. So it's kind of a learning tool. Sometimes I just kind of pick a spot and I do a survey just to see what's happening around that area. So just congratulations to you for the work that you've done. Much thanks.
Thank you very much. That's very nice. Okay, if there's no additional questions, we'll go on. I think we're on time now, so thank you very much.